Well, hi, everybody. Hold on. Let me just get settled here. Hold on. Oh, I think I'm good. I got everything. I even have gum in my mouth, which is a no-no when you speak. But my mouth is dry, so I'll try not to chew it. If I do chew it, just tell me, Lisa, you're chewing your gum, because that's really, really bad when you're speaking. But, well, hi. It's so great to see you. It's so great to be with you tonight. This is an honor for me to be here. Oh, I think I'm going to have to take my gum out. Hold on. Well, she said I'm being real, and I am real. So there we go. So, yeah, it's great to be with you tonight. Oh, wow. I love this church. I love this area. I was flying in this morning, and as I was flying over Kentucky coming in, it's just beautiful over here. You have a really pretty area. It's great to see all of the churches that are represented here. And it's just great to see all of my friends and new friends. And it's just great to get away. How many would say it's kind of hard to get away? It's if you have little kids at home or if you're working or whatever, it's kind of hard to get away, isn't it, ladies? But I'm really glad that you made the effort, because I really sense in my spirit that you are going to experience God's love and new freedom this weekend. I just really sense that. My favorite thing to do in all the land is to speak to ladies. I just love it. I love to speak to ladies. When we were pastoring in New Hampshire, we pastored in New Hampshire for 20 years. And when we pastored there, I did a lot of women's events, and I would love to speak to the whole congregation. But my favorite thing was to speak to the ladies, because I feel like there's just something special about the ladies in the room. And we just get each other, right? We just get each other. So it's just fun. Well, years ago, when my daughter was 6 years old, and we have three kids. I'll show you a picture in a minute. But when our kids were 3 years old, or when Gabby was 6 years old, we had a little fight. And which nobody of you guys ever have fights, do you, with your kids? Well, we had a little fight, and she was upset with her brothers, and she was upset with me, and she was upset with her dad. And so I came downstairs to this little note. And if we have that on the screen, here it is. It says, "Dear family, I just wanted to say that I really, really, really don't like you. You always been so mean to me. I just wanted to say that. Also, I going to run away and never come back. And did I mention, M-E-N-C-H-U-N, I don't like you very much." I think she did say that before. "Well, I have to go run away before dark and late." And then at the very end, it says, "Signed, Gabby, who doesn't have a home." And so I say that because I keep this note because it's so precious to me. Gabby's 21 right now. But I keep it because it reminds me, us girls need to just get away sometimes. We just need to run away and not run away from everything. We know we're going to go back. But we just need to get away from it all, from the stresses of life and from things that really bog us down. And so that's why I'm so glad you're here. One of the scriptures that I've been praying over you is found in Romans 15:13, and it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We talked about hope already. Tracy prayed that over us. And the reason why we go deeper is so that we overflow with hope, right, ladies? This little prism right here, I found this at an antique store, and I thought it was really cool. And I just put a little rope around it. But this reminds me, let's just pretend it's sea glass. It's not. It's from a chandelier. It's a Turkish chandelier. But let's pretend it's sea glass, because we're talking about sea this weekend. But when you allow Jesus to come into you and allow you to go deeper, you are just going to reflect him, and people are going to say, "Wow, what is so different about her?" That's the hope that lies within you, right? That's Jesus. And this is our goal. So that's why we want to go deeper, right, ladies? So I'm really excited to be here. So this is a picture of my family. I'll just give you a little background of who they are. So Peter, my husband, he's a district supervisor. Like I said, we pastored in New Hampshire. We planted a church there, and we pastored for 20 years. And then just almost four years ago now, we took the role as district supervisors, overseeing over 200 churches from Maine to Kentucky, West Virginia, all the way around Ohio, Pennsylvania, all the states in between. And so we've been married 29 years, and that's crazy because I'm only 29. Can you believe that? I'm kidding. Yeah, but it's just crazy that it's been 29 years. Oh, my goodness. That's crazy town. I just cannot believe it. And then my oldest son, Caleb, he's 27. Goodness gracious. And how can that be? I'm only 29. Anyway, Caleb is single. He's the one on the right, over the left, your left. He lives in Los Angeles. So if you know any godly young ladies, send them my way. And then my son Jordan, he's 24. He's on the left. And then Gabby's 21, and she's in the middle. So the boys are out of the house. Gabby's finishing her senior year of college, and she's living at home with us this last semester, finishing up. She went to Oral Roberts University, and she's just doing some online classes to finish up. So that's my family. That's a little bit of who I am. Just an FYI, this looks like the picture-perfect family, but right before this picture, we were fighting. So it's just, it doesn't probably look like it, but we're just like kind of, you know, you just kind of jump in. And anyway, it turned out pretty good. But has anybody here ever been to New England, to the New England states? Yeah, it's a beautiful area. It's a beautiful area. New England is just so pretty. There's mountains. There's ocean. You see the ocean. So many. It's just the really pretty terrain. We loved living there, so we lived there for 20 years. But now we live in Maryland, and we love that because the weather's a little milder, really, to be honest. And so in New England, in New Hampshire, you get almost 8 months of snow or cold weather anyway. And so, in fact, my friends from New Hampshire are all texting me because they're expecting their third nor'easter. Right now they have 4 feet of snow. And I know, can you believe it? And so I kind of do a little teaser. I mean, we love snow, but not that much, right? So, but in New England, the kids would have a February vacation and an April vacation. And I think that's because they want you to, it's okay, go away. Go away, people. We want you to stay in New Hampshire, but we want you to have some time away. So we would always go to someplace warmer. And so we would sometimes go to Florida for their February vacation, or sometimes we would go to a Caribbean island. We'd save our money. And one year we went to Aruba, and Gabby was probably at the time 8 years old, and the boys were like 10 and 13. And so we went to Aruba, and we were going to splurge, and we're going to do this snorkeling excursion. So we get on the boat, we have all our equipment, and they all know how to swim. Well, guess what? Gabby, little feisty Gabby, she would not get out of the boat. And so we're like calling her, jump in, Gabby, come on, it's fun. Get your stuff on, we'll hold you. You got your tube, I mean, because they give you stuff to really float with, so it's not like you're going to be drowning there. But you're supposed to jump in the water so that you can see all the fish. She would not get out of that boat. She would not. She's like, I am not going. She's crying. And we're like, oh, Gabby. So me and Peter took turns. I'd snorkel, and then I'd get in the boat, he'd snorkel, and then we took turns. And so, oh, we were just so frustrated. Come on, Gabby. We couldn't make her. And so then a couple years later, we went on a little trip to Mexico. And this time we said, well, let's try the snorkeling again. Let's see if we can get it to work. And this time she loved it. She loved it. She was so excited. She goes, why didn't you just make me go? Why did you just make me go last time? And we said, well, we couldn't get you out of the boat. We're not going to be like those kind of parents to just throw you over. We wanted to, but we didn't. And so she's like, it's like a whole new world. I just can't believe it. She didn't want to get out of the water. She just loved it so much. And, you know, it's just like floating around and seeing all those beautiful fish. And so that story kind of reminds me of our theme for the weekend, deeper, going deeper in the Lord. And so we all want to go deeper. We say we want to go deeper. But, you know, sometimes we like the comfort of the boat, right, ladies? And sometimes we're a little afraid of what that might mean. Or maybe if you're like me, we're overwhelmed with all the things we have on our plate. How in the world can I go deeper when I can barely handle what I'm sinking in right now? You know, it could be, too, that it's part of our nature, too, to just hold on to things, some things from our past, sometimes relationships, things that the Lord wants to just get rid of us and go deeper in our hearts, but we're holding on to those things. Maybe it's lies that we've believed about ourselves or about our circumstances, and yet the Lord is saying, my daughter, come deeper. You can trust me in this. In Gordon McDonald's book, I'm just going to read this little portion here, Building Below the Waterline, he tells the story of the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge, which took 13 years to complete. The chief engineer wrote that for the first 3 years, the public might well have thought that no work was being done because nothing was visible. But, in fact, the most patient, daring, and important work was in the process, building the bridge's foundations hundreds of feet beneath the water's surface. It's an illustration of an ageless principle. The work done below the waterline in our souls will determine whether we stand the test of time and the challenges that come our way. The process of going deeper is all about worship, devotion, spiritual discipline, done in private where no one else sees. So ladies, it's going to take some work, but we're willing to do it. Are you willing to go deeper? Yeah, me too. All right, well, let's just close in prayer. Let's just ask the Lord to just guide us as we talk tonight. Lord, Father, I just ask right now, Father, I just lift your hands before the Lord right now, and just we just give you our lives. Lord, we are vessels that are broken, and we are weary, and we're overwhelmed many times with life. And so, Father, we come in tonight, and we just lay these burdens at your feet, Father. We lay our families at your feet. We lay any cares and concerns at your feet right now, Father. And we say, Lord, do what you want to in our lives, in our hearts. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just jump in to our scripture, no pun intended. So we're going to look at Luke 5, 1 through 11. This is our theme scripture, and I'm just going to read it from the screen right there, just because I think it's a little easier. So Luke 5, 1 through 11. This is the New King James Version that I'm reading from. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, this is the pressing about Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, Jesus did, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So basically, right here, we're seeing that Jesus is using the boat as a pulpit. So he gets in this boat, which is just happens to be Simon Peter's boat. And Peter's finished fishing, so he's off kind of in the distance cleaning his nets. And Jesus says, hey, I want to use your boat. So Simon lets him use his boat. Okay, verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, as he's finishing speaking to the crowd now, and he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Okay, so the next scripture. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had gone and done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. Okay. So most commentaries and pastors will say that scripture is all about Jesus confirming Simon Peter's calling. Okay. He was a fisherman. He was gruff. He was, you know, New Englanders, we know the fishermen there. They're kind of gruff and burly and rah, rah, rah. And he's calling Peter to be a fisher of men. And I think that's really cool that we focus on that because that's important. But I want to back up and I want to just kind of share about or talk about for a minute this whole portion of launching into the deep. And if we can put ourselves right there in Peter, Simon Peter's position, his role, he had just finished fishing all night long and he's exhausted and he's tired and he's weary. And not only is there a drought of fish, but there's a drought in his soul. Something about circumstances does that to us. When there's a drought outside externally, it does something to us internally. And that's what was happening. And I'm sure he was exhausted. Yeah, he's hearing Jesus over, you know, using the boat, but there's something in him. He was intrigued, but he didn't know if he believed this guy. You know, he's one of those cautious fishermen. Yeah, I don't know if I believe it. And then Jesus says, hey, Simon, and then he calls him Simon Peter eventually, launch out into the deep. And so Simon, I'm maybe just reading into this, but I can imagine him saying kind of sarcastically, you know, I've been out all night, whatever, okay, you know, I'll show you. You don't know anything about fish. This isn't the time of day to fish. you know, I can imagine him kind of saying that. But so he's kind of reluctantly, I think, did it. And then this whole thing happened where Jesus launched out into the deep, and he did, and all that fish came in. They just swarmed in. It was probably 15 minutes, and they had all that fish, which would be probably, who knows, a year's amount of fish, who knows, I don't know. But it's just crazy, all that fish in two boats. They just couldn't believe it. And then Peter's response, his reaction, which was just to be like, how am I in the presence of God right now? I mean, he saw it. He knew it right then. And so I say this as far as the launching into the deep because, you know, God has good stuff in store for us. And he had good stuff in store for Peter, launch into the deep. And he'll get all these fish, but he didn't tell him that. He just wants us to launch first and be willing to launch out and get into deep waters. And yeah, there may be some trials that we face along the way, but it's all for our good. Right, ladies? It's all for our good. Some of you might be here tonight and you're dealing with some difficult issues, maybe in your marriage or your family, maybe in your workplace or your school or relationships, maybe even with a health. Maybe you've been given a health diagnosis. And the Lord is saying to you tonight, my daughter, you can trust me. Come deeper. Let go of the things that are keeping you in fear. Trust in me. Come to me. Tonight, I want to share, I was praying, and I just felt like this kept running over in my mind over and over, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, to share about three particular areas, and it deals with our hearts, that I believe the Lord wants us to go deeper in. Because if we don't deal with our hearts, we can't deal with the relationships issues, we can't deal with the health issues, we can't deal with our family crises. We have to deal with our hearts first, because it always starts with us, right, ladies? And so there's something about our spirit and our heart that kind of go together. And I have a friend of mine, some of you might know Pastor Harriet Maurer. She's like a spiritual mom in many ways to me. And we had a conference call the other day with some of our Hub women leaders, and she kept using this phrase over and over, keep the waters of your spirit sweet. And that phrase just kept like, wow, that's really good. And then I looked it up in Exodus, I think it is Exodus, Exodus 15:25, and this is where the Israelites came to Marah, and they came to this bitter water. And I just thought that was, you know, it was kind of Moses let this log, put through this log into the water to keep it, make it sweet, and so they could drink it. Because bitter water is awful. And so keep the waters of our spirit sweet. That means, wow, that means, okay, offenses that come my way, okay, I got to let it go. Fears, things that are blocking the sweetness coming out of me, I got to let it go, right? And so anyway, I'm bringing that in, Harriet's little word, and then my mom, she always said these three little things over us as kids all the time, and it's stay tender, stay teachable, and stay transparent. And my mom, she was a real godly woman, she died 10 years ago, and so I'm kind of honoring her tonight by sharing this with you, stay tender, stay teachable, transparent. And so that all goes along with stay, keep the waters of our spirit sweet, right? They all kind of go together. And we're talking about water a lot tonight and this weekend, so that'll be fun. So let's just dive right in, no pun intended. So let's do the first slide, stay tender. Tenderness of heart is the key to growth in the Lord. Tenderness is having a heart that is sensitive to hear God's voice. This is what I call the inner part of our souls. The souls is where the Holy Spirit can work, tweaking us and softening us, pouring his love into us, and shaping us as women of God who love him. When we have tender hearts, we are able to hear his voice. We're able to respond to his leading, and a key thing, we're able to allow the Lord to love us right where we're at. The Lord talks about tenderness in the Bible quite a bit. And one of the things that he says is, David had a tender heart, and he was called a man after God's own heart. And it kind of boggles me because David was great for a while, but then he really fell into sin. I mean, adulterous affair, had someone murdered, just a lot of lying. But yet God still calls him a man after his own heart. So the reason why, again, we all know, many of us know, is because he had a heart of repentance. So tenderness and repentance go hand in hand. So I want to just ask you right out, what causes your heart to get hard? Just think about that for a minute for you, because everyone's a little different. What causes your heart to get hard? You know, we start off with tender hearts. The older we get, it seems like the harder they get. I don't know why that is, but it just is. We just kind of get used to life, and we get a little, you know, stony hearts sometimes. So what causes your heart to get hard? For me, let's just think about that for a moment. But for me, I would say that when I get overwhelmed and distracted, and when I am really not spending time with the Lord or really have a desire to, I might kind of fake it. But then I'm not tender. So I'm not tender with the Lord, but I'm not really tender toward people. So it goes both ways. So the tenderness with the Lord begins first so that we can be tender with people. Right, ladies? So our lives are so busy, and we get distracted, and we are serving our families. We're running here and there. But it's really when we rest in his presence that we feel his love just flowing over us. And when we take time in the morning or whenever we do it, that we really will just spend time with him and just rest in his presence. Sometimes we don't even have to put worship on. Sometimes we don't have to even read our Bibles. What am I saying? But no, just resting in his presence and letting him just love you. So I've started this habit. For a while I had a really bad habit. Everyone knows what this is. This was attached to my arm. So in the morning I would wake up, my alarm would go off on my phone, and I would be first thing first checking my emails or checking my text messages or Instagram or even Facebook. Crazy. I'm a pastor and I'm doing this. This was so attached to me. So I would wake up and yeah, I would spend time with the Lord, but I was even distracted then. So I was really convicted because the Lord was just like, you know, I feel like I'm second place in your heart. You're not even giving me first place. And so what I began doing is not looking at my phone first thing in the morning. I mean, I use it as an alarm, but that's it. And then I just leave it and I just have my time with the Lord and just let him speak to me. But I've also been practicing just having a couple minutes of silence. And let me tell you, ladies, that's hard to do because we are busy ladies and we are productive ladies and we like to think and we like to go and we like to do things. But there's something about just sitting silently before the Lord and resting in his presence where he just can speak to us and he can speak to those deep part of our hearts. And so I just really want to encourage you in that brings a tenderness. It breeds tenderness. Silence can breed tenderness. I would much rather listen to worship or read God's word because I feel like I'm productive. But silence, I've been trying to practice this habit of silence and just letting him speak to my heart. Even if it's 2 minutes before I do anything in the day or 5 minutes or whatever, it's something that it's a good habit to begin in this day and age of busyness and distraction. When we started our church in New Hampshire, I said, I'm going to be the best pastor's wife ever. I am going to love everybody, and I'm easy to love, and I'm going to love everybody. And it was within the first year, maybe 3 weeks probably, of pastoring there at the planting our church that I realized, wow, I can't love everybody, and it's really hard. And so what happened, we either had a few difficult, I'll say, women in the church, and I met with them, and I had one lady over, and I just remember, it was hard. So we were talking, and she was unhappy with Peter. She was unhappy with da-da-da, something else, children's workers, or da-da-da, and it was just on and on. And I was just trying to love her and not get upset. And so anyway, after she left, I realized I was mad. You know, I don't know if any of you guys get mad. And I don't really get mad that much, but I do sometimes. It kind of just, the waters of my spirit were escalating to bitterness at that point. So anyway, I was just mad, and I threw a chair across the room, and I ran up to my closet, and I was in my closet in a fetal position, crying and saying, I am done. You know, sometimes when we're overwhelmed and we're tired, we make these declarations, right, ladies? I am done. No more loving, and I'm done being a doormat, is what I said to Jesus. No more. I'm done. And I remember him saying to me, Lisa, you know, as I'm quiet before him, crying, because even in our tears, he speaks to us. And I remember him saying, Lisa, when did I ask you to be a doormat? I never asked you to be a doormat. That's not what you are as a pastor's wife, as a woman of God. I asked you to be a doorway, and a doorway allows my presence to come into someone's life and to love them, and they can come and go, and you're not offended when things don't go your way. You're secure. It's a secure building block in any home is a doorway, and that's what I am to you, and I am your doorway. And I just remember that stuck to me because there are going to be times when people come in our lives and we get offended or we get hurt, but the tenderness is so key, ladies. Keeping your heart tender before the Lord. So let the waters of our spirits tonight, ladies, let's do it, stay sweet as we go deeper in tenderness. Amen? Amen. Say tenderness. Tenderness, good. The next one is stay teachable. And if there is a quality that will help us go deeper in any area of our lives regarding our walk with the Lord, it's this area of being teachable. In our day and age, we don't feel that we need to stay teachable because guess what? We have all the answers, right? And guess what? We can Google anything we want and we can get any answer we want. Why do I need to ask somebody for help when I can get it right here? And I know, I do it all the time. I mean, I'm like, oh, how do I fix that? Okay, you know. And so we just have everything at our disposal right now. So we have become a society of not learners. We're not really learners. We're not really teachable. And teachable meaning from others, yes, but also from Jesus. Also from Jesus, because it kind of goes hand in hand. So if we want to go deeper in our walk with God, we need to be able to allow others to speak into our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to tweak us. I kind of think of it like teachability is like the art of listening and obeying, waiting to hear from the Lord and others, wanting to hear from the Lord and others, and teaching, okay, so if you think about teachability and listening and obeying, so listening, you know, that's an art in itself. Listening is really wanting to hear what someone is saying to us, but sometimes we can be good listeners, but we're really not obeying, right? And then the other hand, we can obey in our whatever we want to do, but we're really not listening. So they really go hand in hand. So it's kind of like a zipper. Hold on. Oopsie. It's kind of like a zipper. They go hand in hand. So listening and obeying. You'll remember that forever. So listening and obeying is so important, ladies. Qualities about a teachable person. Here's a few qualities. I don't think I have these on the screen. Qualities of a teachable person. They are prepared to move out of their comfort zone, make mistakes, look stupid, answer wrongly, and even fail. They don't give up. They learn from their mistakes, and they even admit when they're wrong. Wow. They know their blind spots. And another word for someone who's teachable is someone who's humble. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay, so the opposite of being teachable, let's talk about that. We blame others for our mistakes, not taking responsibility. We're critical of others and even judgmental. We aren't good listeners. We like to talk and talk and talk. We resist moving out of our comfort zones, and we like to play it safe. We like the complacency part of our lives. Whenever I fall into any of these, it's a red flag in my spirit. Okay, Lisa, I'm not being teachable right now. I'm not being teachable. If I get defensive, that's another trigger for me because I can get really defensive easily. You probably think I can't because you think I'm so sweet. Really, if you were a fly on the wall, and I'm going to tell you some stories this weekend, you're like, we need to pray for her. No, but we really want to be teachable, right, ladies? So another story of mine, years ago, we had a district conference similar to this at our church. So our district supervisor said, hey, we want to use your church for this conference. Will you let us use it? Will you be the host? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I felt so honored. So there were about 600 women that came. We just finished this big youth center project. So we had this big youth center that we had all the tables for reception in it and all of like the breakfast and stuff in this little youth center. We decorated it. It was all ready to go. Everything was going smoothly and the worship went great. And then the speaker got up and the microphone wasn't working. And that sometimes can be so annoying when you're trying to hear somebody and it keeps cutting out. So that was one thing, but that's little. But then at lunchtime we ran out of salad, which is not that big a deal. Then we ran out of toilet paper. Then the coffee ran out. But then this was the most humiliating thing of all things. So we had just ordered these chairs from some country and they came. And they were plastic chairs. Well, at the lunchtime, while everyone's eating, at one table, one lady just fell. Her chair just broke. Another table, I'm like, what? And, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I go over, and then 15 minutes, someone else, boom, falls. You know, you think one chair, that's a fluke. Two chairs, and then I'm like, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. And then someone else fell. It was like five people fell in a matter of a half an hour. Ladies began to stand up as they were eating, and they're like, they're really working their muscles, but they were like, okay, you know. Yeah, I was so humiliated. Okay, so after the event was done, I was so embarrassed. I was mad at the sound guy. Why didn't he check those batteries? I was mad at the caterer. Why didn't she have enough food? Why did she, you know, all these things. I was mad at the district supervisor. Why did he ask me to host this? I was mad at my husband. Why did he order those darn chairs? I was so mad at him. And then, most of all, I was mad at the ladies. Why did they even come? You know how it is. It's like, you just get mad at everybody. And it was just like, come on. And I eventually simmered down. But I remembered that part of my heart was really like almost the declaration thing again, like I was talking about earlier. Never again am I going to do this ever again. I'm not going to look humiliated. I'm not going to fail. Never again. Never. And it was just like the Lord said to me, Lisa, come on, my daughter. If you fail, you fail. You just have to remain teachable because I want to teach you. And we're all going to fail at times. And we're not all going to be perfect. And even if it doesn't go the way you think it will look, even if your life doesn't go the way you think it will look, you still need to be stay teachable. And teachability really requires trust, right? Because we have to trust the person who's talking to us, and we trust the Lord. And, we have to just allow the Lord to just continue to just massage that trust into our hearts. That he's for us. He is good. He's going to take care of us. So, ladies, let the waters of our spirit stay sweet as we go deeper in being teachable. Say teachable. Teachable. Amen. Yes. And the third one is stay transparent. And this is where we intentionally bare our souls to the world by showing our true selves to others, but also to the Lord. You know, we live again in this day and age where we can really fake things. I love that video that we had. I love that video because he was basically faking his walk with God. We have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have email where we can show. I have an Instagram account, and I love it. I have, like, a home decor account, and I stage my house. I can tell you this, ladies, this is how people do it. They stage their house, and they take a picture. All of the junk is over here. Nobody ever sees it, and nobody would know. I mean, you sweep a little area, you stage it, you get a plant to there. Okay, you know, and that's it. And then you feel, wow, she's got a gorgeous home. You know, and you feel like, if you only knew. So we stage that, you know, and that's that whole part about being transparent, you know, is being real. This is not real life. Instagram is not real life. Facebook is not real life. And even at church, we do this. You know, we can say to people, I'm good. Yo, how are you? I'm good. You know, if somebody really knew how we were doing, they would be like, I want to pray for you right now, you know. And I'm not saying that we bare our souls to everybody that we meet. You know, you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you say, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? I love that dance that we had, you know, they're holding each other. I just love that because that's sisterhood. That's sisterhood. We should be cheering each other on and holding each other and really loving each other and really be the ones that are spurring each other on in goodness and God, you know? And I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, the prayer that precedes all prayers is, may the real me meet the real you, talking about Jesus, meeting him, because we can even fake it with Jesus, right? We can. He knows, but we can act like we are really closer to him than we really are. And there's just something about being transparent with God that leads us to being transparent with others. Being real is so key in growing deeper in our walk with God. Transparency is really knowing the secret places of our hearts and really allowing the Lord to go there. It's really allowing him to go there. I love this portion of scripture where Peter gets down on the ground and says, I am unworthy. I'm a sinner. You know, that really shows that he is transparent. I mean, it's just like, I'm not holding anything back. I was acting this way. This is how I see that you're real, God. I see that you're real. And that's holiness that we encounter when we encounter Jesus. And that will really get us really transparent right there. Knowing that this powerful God desires us. Peter knew this, and he wants us to know that too. The Lord wants us to know that. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is anything offensive in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. when we allow the Lord to examine our hearts, he not only reveals what he wants to tweak in us, but he just pours his love in. I mean, again, he's a gentleman. And yes, he wants us to be right with him, but more than anything, he just wants fellowship with us, and he just wants to have us to himself. And so may the real me meet the real you. That should be our prayers. To be honest with you, ladies, if you knew the real me, you would probably be like, why is she speaking tonight? No, I'm kidding. But no, really, we all struggle. We all struggle. We all have things that, you know, in our lives that we're not perfect. And, you know, I always said in my mind, I'm going to be the best mom ever because I just wanted to be a mom. I just love kids and I wanted to be a mom. So we had three kids and all of our kids are pretty strong-willed. They're just like their dad. And so, no, they're like me too. But when Jordan, our middle son, was probably about 10 years old or so, Peter was away. I don't remember. He was on some trip, and I was home with the kids, getting them ready. And the mornings are usually kind of hectic anyway. Well, this one particular morning, Jordan had waited to the last minute to print off a paper that was due that day. And you know how that is, ladies, when they wait to the last minute. And the printer wasn't working. It jammed. And so he was so upset. And I'm not very techie, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was trying to help him, and I couldn't figure it out. You're stupid. You don't know what you're doing, Mom. And he was saying things like that to me, and I let it go. But again, the waters of my spirit began to rise, and it became a little upset. And pretty soon, she exploded. And I start, you know, Jordan's upset with me. And usually in the morning, we take two other kids with us to school. And that particular morning, you know, I picked them up and stuff. But on the way there, Jordan, I'm like laying into him on the way to their house. How dare you call me stupid? How you are waiting to the last minute for this project. You shouldn't be doing that. And I'm laying into him. But I'm not just laying into him. I was enraged, ladies. You know, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I was enraged and I was so mad because I just was like, this is not my fault. This is your fault. You know, and I was letting this 10-year-old know in my 35-year-old, whoever I was, that I am boss and you can't talk to me like that. And I'm just yelling at him and he starts to cry. I know, Mom, I know. And he's crying. I'm like, get in the car. You know, so we go get the kids and the other boys. And usually, and we're trying to be a real light to these other boys because they're not in our church. And so we're really trying to pray them in. And so every day at the bus, and you know what, I leave them at the school, I would pray over their day. Lord, I pray a blessing over these kids' day, you know, but not today. As soon as we pulled up, I said, get out of the car. And Jordan stayed in the car a little bit. And I said, and don't you ever talk to me like that. And your attitude better change when you come back, when I get you after school. And, blah, 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 and I'm just going into him, rage, enraged. Okay, Mom, okay. All right, bye, Mom. I love you. Bye, Mom, bye. And he goes into school like I was like just had kicked him. And so then I get home, and I was just like, oh, these kids of mine. Oh, you know, I was so mad. And I sit down. And I was having a friend over for coffee in an hour or something. And so I had a little time. So I opened my Bible. And I was like, oh, God, you have got to change these kids. They're just so annoying, you know. And I was just like so mad. And then I remember the Lord just quieting my heart. And it was just, again, like when I just took a deep breath and just rested in him. I don't even think I read anything. I was just like, the Lord said, my daughter, calm down. It's okay. Your kids are kids. You don't have to get so angry. And I just remember him saying, now you need, and I repented before the Lord, and I said, I'll talk to Jordan when he comes home from school, and I'll repent. And the Lord says, no, you'll go do that now. You'll go back to school right now and do that. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, I have to pull him out of class, and, you know, I just don't want to do that. I'm just going to embarrass him. No, you go do that now. So it had been only about a half an hour. So I went back to the school, and I went into the office area, and I signed him out, you know, I asked if he could come. And so he comes around the corner, and no kidding you, ladies, he comes around the corner, and he sees me, and he goes, hi, Mom, and he was so broken. Oh, man, I even start crying now. He was so broken, and he was just, like, so upset, and I was like, oh, my goodness, Jordan, I'm so sorry. Mom lost it today. I just lost it. I don't even know. He goes, Mom, it's okay. It's okay. He's like crying. His little heart is like breaking. And I'm like holding him in the hallway. There's all this commotion, all these other kids. I'm just holding him. I'm like, Mom, really failed, Jordan. Will you forgive me? I forgive you. I forgive you, Mom. And we're crying there together. And we prayed in the hallway right then and there. Lord, help us, Father. We need you to help us in our relationship. We need you to help. That was one time that I actually did something right with really going back to repent to him. And not one time. I'm making that silly. I'm making silliness. But in general, ladies, that was really hard. And it was one of those things that was like, wow, I can't believe I overreacted like that. But we all can relate to that in many ways. Well, later that day, so my friend came over in an hour. She's a friend in the neighborhood, again, that I had just been trying to be a light to. And she could tell that I was upset. So I'd gotten home, and she says, wow, are you okay? And I said, yeah, just a bad morning. And she was like, oh, okay. And then I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, it's okay, you can share. You can share. And so I just share with her, this is what happened. And I lost it. I literally lost it. And he was crying, and I went back to the school, and I told him I was sorry. And as I'm telling her, she's crying. She's like, oh, my gosh, I relate to that. You know, and she was just crying. And we held each other and prayed. So she prayed. We both, and she's not, you know, she lets me pray for her, but she wasn't, you know. So, you know, she was just learning. And so I say that, ladies, because transparency is all about, it's knowing who you can talk to, for sure, one thing. But there's something really powerful about being transparent because people see that you're real. And it's endearing. It's endearing when you're transparent. You can be your real self, and people love that. They want the real you. And Jesus wants the real you. He does. He loves that about you, that you can be real and transparent with him. So tenderness, teachability, and transparency. So what of all these three, just think in your heart right now, what of all those three kind of just clinches in your heart, like this is an area I need to work on? Because I want to pray for you tonight, ladies. And I really want to pray that we can go deeper in some rest tonight and this weekend in the Lord, and that he can really reveal his love to you. Amen. So some of you, like I mentioned earlier, you've been through difficult situations, and even this year, and if someone asks you really, truly, how are you doing, you could just cry at the drop of a hat. You know, that's just you. Some of you have just felt numb. Maybe you haven't felt sensitive to the Lord, and it's just because of life, busyness, and maybe you've just been distracted. The Lord is wooing you back. He wants to just soften your heart. Some of you need a new perspective, and you need new joy, and the Lord wants to give that to you. This whole weekend, he wants to just pour that in. So I just want to pray for you, and what we're going to do is I'm going to read Psalm 139 over you, and then I want us to just rest for 2 minutes. And this might be a little hard. You think, oh, 2 minutes, nah. 2 minutes can be a little hard when we're not used to looking at doing something. So I was just going to rest. No music, nothing. I'm just going to rest in the Lord's presence. And then I'm going to just prayer blessing over you, okay? All right, so just bow your heads with me while I pray this, read this scripture over you. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me, and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Just take a deep breath in and out, ladies. Just take a deep breath in and out. Breathe out your frustrations and worries into the presence of God. Breathe in his presence. God is as near as the air you breathe. We're just going to rest for 2 minutes in his presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you, ladies, with a longing to go deeper and experience God's presence with a heart of joy. The Lord has gone before you, and he knows every detail of your heart, your life, and your journey. Nothing will take him by surprise. He is fully prepared to keep you safe, tending you with skill in every circumstance. May the Lord quench your deep thirst and satisfy your hunger. Even in the darkest valley, may the water of your spirit stay sweet as you keep your eyes on Jesus. I bless you with strength and courage and a stronger belief that you are being led to a good place. Your weeping will become a watering hole of blessings where you discover your most valuable treasures in the places of greatest hurts. I bless you with reaching higher ground as you go deeper with God in tenderness, and teachability, and transparency. May you experience radiance coming from God's face, knowing he is for you and he will never fail you. May his love infuse you, cascade over you, go before you, and walk beside you as you entrust yourself to go deeper with your good Father. Amen.